You are invited to come back next week as we continue to worship next week, and we kick off a new series called This is the Way. Early Christians, early followers of Jesus called it the way of the Lord, the way of the Master. And today, many of us call ourselves Christians. But what does that really mean? What do Christians universally believe in, and how does that change our life? How do we live that out? I invite you to come back and find out. It's going to be great. And then following that service, we're going to look at the story of Exodus and how that impacts our faith today. You don't want to miss these. Tomorrow is a day for practical jokes and for fooling one another, right? And today, we're here worshiping God. And the world thinks that this is foolish, but I've got good news for you. That the cross is God's act of love, and while that is foolishness to the world, it is the power of God to us. It is the power of God for those who are turning to God. And so today, if you find yourself feeling a little foolishness, or feeling a little foolish about this whole resurrection business, if you find it confusing or find yourself moving beyond skeptical and into cynical, then let me encourage you today. I want you to hear these words of life. Hear the power of God, that Christ is risen, that Christ is risen indeed, that God passionately pursued us. And even when we rejected him, killing him on a cross, that his love overcame our sin and even death, and that God's foolish love overcomes our death and our shame and our failure. And there's hope in that. We have hope in that. And I get excited, and when I get excited, my voice gets really loud, so I'm going to try to stay calm today. But I want you to hear the good news. Listen carefully or pay attention as I read from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Hear the good news. Peter said, I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is accepted to him. This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And you know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and endowed with power. Jesus traveled around doing good and healing everyone oppressed by the devil because God was with him. And we are witnesses of everything he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. And they killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and allowed him to be seen, not by everyone, but by us. And we are witnesses whom God chose beforehand, who ate and drank with him after God raised him from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your message of life, death, and resurrection. And on this Easter Sunday, may we be fools for you, and may our lives be transformed by your power, the power that overcomes our greatest and gravest circumstances. In the name of the one we call Lord, amen. So once upon a time, A long, long time ago, there were no Republicans and there were no Democrats. There was no freedom of speech. There was no freedom of religion. There were no First and Second Amendment rights. There was not even a Bill of Rights. There was not even human rights. There was only an empire, the Roman Empire. And over the empire stood one person, the emperor. And this emperor had given power to his representatives over different districts within the empire. And they were called governors. And if they did well, the emperor rewarded them. Yet if they failed, they would often lose their position and sometimes even their life. And in a certain part of this empire on the east coast of the Mediterranean, there is a beautiful region called Judea and a beautiful city called Jerusalem. And over this region was a governor named Pontius Pilate. And Pilate was a man of military cunning and authority. And as governor, he assured the emperor that the people of Judea would not revolt against Rome as they had done several times in years past under previous leadership. And Pilate was assuring the governor to keep them under control, and he had been governor for 5 years when everything changed. As he traveled from the Mediterranean coast in his palatial home in Caesarea Maritima to the city of Jerusalem for the annual feast of Passover and for that great celebration, upon his arrival into the city through the west gate, he rode in on a powerful white stallion to the welcoming cheers of crowds of people. And while he was there for only 1 week, for that week of celebration, it was then that all hell broke loose. Because a man named Jesus, a famous prophet and teacher of God, had arrived in the city on that same day. And he was mighty and powerful in both words and deeds. And people from all along the countryside had loved him and followed him. And they continuously talked about him. In fact, people wouldn't stop talking about him. Jesus' popularity had become so great that the Jewish leadership became insecure and jealous. The religious lawyers and the religious leaders, they continued to grow more and more agitated with this Jesus. But the whole week, Jesus spent in the heart of the city at the temple teaching about God. Finally, the Jewish leaders had had enough. In bribing one of his closest friends, they arrested Jesus under cover of darkness. And it was it wasn't legit at all. Because they brought Jesus to Pilate at night after the rest of the city had gone to sleep. And there they argued with Pilate throughout the night to crucify this man. But Pilate was reluctant. After a thorough examination, he found nothing wrong with Jesus, nothing he could really charge him for. Yet the Jews were still stirred up, and they were in a relentless frenzy, and they were about to rebel. They demanded the death of Jesus. Pilate wished to wash his hands of the matter, yet if he let Jesus go free and a rebellion occurred, it could cost him his job and maybe even his life. So Pilate relented, and as the governor of Judea, as the representative of the emperor, with a stamp of the Roman Empire, Pilate ordered Jesus to be beaten and crucified until death. And by the end of the next day, Jesus breathed his last breath. Yet those were powerful breaths. Because with those breaths, he forgave those who mocked him and beat him and crucified him. He offered eternal life in paradise to a violent criminal dying right beside him. And with his final breaths, he cried out to God in his loneliness and in his pain, and he proclaimed, "It is finished." And when the soldiers checked his body and pierced his side with a spear, blood and water flowed, showing that he was indeed dead. And then in the middle of the day, the sky grew dark, thunder roared, and the earth shook. And the veil in the temple that separated the people from the holiest of holies split in two. And the crowds of people fled in fear, and only the soldiers remained. And one of them declared, "Surely this was the Son. This is the Son of God." Later that day, some of Jesus' secret followers got permission from Pilate to gather his body and place it in a new tomb. And Pilate placed a stone over the tomb and sealed it. And then he placed guards there to protect it and to make sure no one would steal this body. While Jesus' closest followers hid away in that upper room where they had gathered several nights before, they hid while the rest of the city celebrated Passover and Sabbath. The disciples dared not go out into the city unless they were found out and feared that they would end up like Jesus. But then on that third day, some of the women rose up in courage and bravely went out in the early morning, heading to the tomb with spices to honor their beloved Jesus. And when they got there, they discovered the guards were gone. The stone was rolled away, and the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. Frightened, they didn't know what to do, and they're about to panic when suddenly an angel appears before them and says, "He is not here. The one you were looking for, Jesus, is not here. He has risen. Now go and tell the others that Jesus has risen from the dead." And they ran and they told the others. And then as the day went on, many of the disciples witnessed the risen Jesus. This is the resurrection that we celebrate today. And this is what Peter was proclaiming in the scriptures that we read today. That Peter saw Jesus tortured and killed. He knew Jesus was dead and buried. But on that third day, he saw Jesus again. And Jesus was alive. He saw Jesus. He touched Jesus. He was held by Jesus. He ate and drank with Jesus. And Jesus is alive. Jesus is real. And nobody can take that reality from us. Peter exclaims their deep belief in this resurrected Savior, and they went on to tell everyone. They're going to proclaim it in every place they can, to everyone they can. They're going to share it until the day they die, even if it cost them their life. And if it does cost us our lives, that's okay, because Jesus, he will raise us from the dead, and we will be with him in eternal paradise. And days and weeks went on, and many more disciples witnessed the risen Jesus. And we are here today because they witnessed the risen Jesus, and they believed. And they believed so much, and it was so important to them that they told everyone they could that Jesus is alive. Now, usually when we hear a story that begins with "once upon a time," That's a sign, that's a symbol to us that it is make-believe, that it didn't really happen. But this isn't make-believe. This is real, and it changes our life. And I stake my life on it. There's a story about Chuck Colson Richard Nixon's dastardly chief counsel and infamous hatchet man, and some of you may remember him, that he was notorious for his role in the Watergate scandal. And while he was in prison, he gave his life to God. He converted to Christianity, and he wrote several books as a result of that. And in one of the books, he wrote this statement. He says, "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and when they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it, and every one was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put into prison. And they would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. So you're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Impossible. Jesus is alive. He has overcome the grave, death, and hell. And what's more is that Jesus has overcome the world. The world didn't want Jesus, but Jesus wanted the world. Jesus wanted each and every single one of you. And God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, not to condemn the world, but so that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. And God loves you so much that he came to live and to die for you, so that he could show you the power of God, the power of resurrection. Jesus loves you so much that through his foolish love, he overcame it all. All our fear, all our failures, all our shame, all our mess. All my failures and fear and shame and mess, and all your fear and failure and shame and mess. And this gives us hope. His resurrection is your hope. It's hope of a better life, a better today, and a better tomorrow. It's hope of a life with purpose, where you matter, where what you do matters, and where what you do makes a difference. And this is good news, that Jesus is alive, that through Jesus, you can live. Through Jesus, you can overcome the world. Through the love of Jesus, you are a child of God. And if you don't know Jesus, you can be a child of God. If you believe with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul that Jesus is the Son of God and that he lived and died and was raised from the dead for you, then you can have new life and you can live a life for God that is good and graceful and loving. You can live a life that is so full of God's foolish love that you can overcome anything and everything that the world would throw at you. You know, the world expected Jesus to stay dead. Everyone expected Jesus to stay dead. But he didn't. He came back. And Jesus is alive. And through him, you can have new life too. Amen?